With our special guest tonight, James Van Praagh, Growing Up in Heaven, the eternal connection between parent and child. Very important. We'll be back with James, some of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with James Van Praagh. James, tell us, so this woman, when you confronted her and said that you were told that she was going to commit suicide, well, she must have freaked out.
Yes, it happens.
You have to tell her how you know, right?
Yeah, well, but I see a lot of things, George, that people like kind of freak out at, but my job is really to give them whatever I receive. My agreement with the spirit world when I first started this work 20-odd years ago was, if you give me it, then I have to give it out. Now, how I give that out, how I couch it, is my responsibility, but if you give it to me, then I'm able to give it out. And I've had many, many experiences where I've been standing in front of an audience, and I'd see a lady whose lungs are black. And I'd say to her, you need to stop smoking, even though I knew it probably wouldn't do much. Or there have been people say they were going to die within, I'd say, months or years. And I'd say, well, you know, you need to go to a doctor and have checkups going on.
So you won't say, you're going to die.
No, I don't say that. But I do say, you know, you should go to the checkup. You should go to a doctor, a checkup. And when's the last time? And they just look at me, I said, well, you really should do that. And one lady, I remember, I told her, stop smoking. And years later, she came back to me through spirit, and she said, and it was the exact same city, and her friends were in the audience, and she came through to them, and she said, I was here 3 years ago, and James warned me.
Oh,
I should have listened.
God.
So, yeah, it's interesting what comes through, and I'm just a messenger. I'm totally just a messenger, thank God, and it's up to that individual to make the choice.
How do you know at that given time that you're picking up these sensations, these feelings from the other side, and your mind's not creating it in your head?
Good question. Very, very good question. And it's a very important question. As myself, and I can only speak for my mediumship, because there are many mediums out there who do this type of work, and I can't speak for them. Because I can only speak for myself. But I sat for many, many years in development, in a development circle. And in a development circle, you learn how to discern between what you receive on your own self, your own emotions, your own mind, what's coming in from your own self, and those that are separate from you, if you will. It's very much like tuning into a station, and you have to, and it's very, very subtle, and you have to listen very clearly, very intently, and you begin to really trust that. And it's a matter of really practicing it, giving it out, and being wrong, and really working with that. And I sat for many, many years, over 10 years in development, working at that. And now I know when something's coming through to me, if it's coming from my own self or outside myself. I know really, really well. And and there are some mediums that they don't think even are at that level.
They can't tell.
They can't tell, and they get their own bias involved.
Right.
And that's important that they don't do that, because then it's their ego getting involved. And there are mediums out there that have to get it right. And, you know, that's not it, because it's the ego speaking, not spirit speaking. Because if the ego's in the way, spirit can't get through. And I will often say, I mean, more times than not, if I'm not hearing it correctly or I'm misinterpreting it, because that happens quite a bit, it might be Mary, and I get Marie, because it's so close. I just say to the person, keep it, because I might not be getting it correctly. And they drive home, and inevitably they write me an email or come back to the next session and say, you said this, and you said this. One man actually last month came to my Laguna Beach event circle, and he brought through objects that his grandfather came through and talked about, these certain objects on a shelf and certain newspaper articles. This man actually put the articles into the room. And when we first started questions and answers, he raised up his hand and said, I must say, James said I had this on my shelf and this article and this whatever it was. He brought, it was like show and tell. He wrote over all the articles that the grandfather spoke of, because it was just so unbelievable to him, I guess. You know, to me it was like, okay, that's fine, because I don't remember what I get anyway. But he was so blown away by it that he had to actually bring the articles into the room to show that what came through was real.
You know, the same is for me, James, with intuition, where I have to really train myself to know what I'm intuitive at and what's just popping into my head.
That's right.
Trying to confuse me, thinking that I know what's happening, and I really don't.
That's the problem, you're thinking.
Yep.
So there is no thought. Like when I teach class, I would say, it's a no-brainer class. It's the only class you'll ever take where there are no brains required, because you're not relying on your brain's rationalization. You're relying on your intuition, your innate feeling, your sense of being. You're feeling it. And I do exercise in my classes for people to feel, learn how to feel, to accept feeling again, because, you know, we're taught not to feel, at least men, and well, I'm going to say the older societies, are taught not to feel. It's not good to feel. Nowadays, it's changing. But you really have to work at that. And with a weekend or week with me, I teach people all these techniques of feeling. At the end, they say to me, wow, I feel like I've gotten myself back, a part of myself back, because now I can feel. And the intuition, the more you use it, the stronger it becomes. So if you do silly things like, well, in L.A., it's easy because you have to intuit where to find a parking space. That'll happen. But if there's elevated banks, you have to intuit which one's going to open first. Or if you get a letter in the mail, which bill will be, you know, how much will this bill, the amount be? The ways you're going to use the intuition every single day, silly little things, but it does help. It's like a muscle. The more that you use it, the more it develops.
In my case, it would be the expensive one. You know,
the expensive one?
The expensive bill.
Well, depends on what you buy.
That's right. Let's go to our first-time caller, Rhonda in Arlington, Texas. First-time caller. Hi, Rhonda.
It's funny about y'all talking about the intuition. I have a parking angel, and I have a credit mall Christmas.
Credit mall angel.
Yeah.
That's dangerous, Rhonda.
No. Parking mall. Parking angel. Yeah. And intuition is, you know, the exact amount of money in my purse is what I do at the grocery store without trying.
Rhonda, the best advice I can give you is go to the mall and go to the intuit where the sales rack is, because I've got better sales that way.
That is true. I am a procurer. I get the best deals.
It's true. It does work. It really does. You're going to intuit where the sales rack is.
And it was what's odd is learning to trust in that.
Thank you.
I know when I had a premonition that I'd have two sons. And my vivid premonition, two sons, one would be taller than the other, he'd be redhead, and one looked like the rest of the family. We'd be in an award, 15 years old, the younger one is carrying the younger one down, carrying him. Mm. Couldn't understand it. Mm. Fast forward, I have two sons, had two sons. My eldest turned 15 when 2001, 9/11 hit. So I knew that there's going to be war here on the United States. My second one, my husband and I are both brunettes, no redheads in the family, was born with red hair and had red hair. So that was kind of, you know, freaky. Mm. But it really didn't bother me because I always saw him being taller than the older one. He was a challenge. We used to call him Evan from Heaven because Evan would find reasons to make us better parents.
Isn't that great? Wow.
The first one was just, Mr. Perfect, and the second one just was challenging from the time he was born. We almost lost him when he was born. So in the hospital, the first 4 months of his life, and for 3 years, just one thing after another with doctors. Grew up bipolar.
He wasn't at the third,
He wasn't the first, and, you know, we were always supportive of him and always just really taking his side over everything. And right now my left hand is twitching a lot. I don't know, like somebody's shaking my thumb.
It's just validation, anyway, that's all.
So Evan, you know, we had been working with him. He was 21 years old. We got him in our pool house. I felt safe that he was home with us. Had his girlfriend back there watching television. He had had just a big-hearted kid, and we always said Evan was an old soul because he was always trying to help people and taking on their problems, which I think is very tender-hearted and really weighed him down a lot. But we were getting him back on track and everything, and he decided to drink that night as well as taking his medication and who knows what else.
But
he was really having bad combination. He went to sleep and just didn't wake up. He woke up, during that evening, he went and visited my oldest son in College Station, and my son said, like, a heaviness on his chest, like you're talking about the old hag, for 40 minutes, and he couldn't get up. After his passing, I didn't feel, and my problem was, is I felt like God, in showing me that he was higher than my other son, was telling me in advance that Evan was going to be in heaven. And seeing him being carried was that my oldest son would carry him versus him walking through life. So it seemed like I had premonitions since I was 20 about this child. And what's odd is we had gone into a situation with my parents to where we built a big house and we all lived there together, and it was a problem for Evan. Within 2 months, there was a deal that came up that we really shouldn't have gotten to this house, and for no reason, we're in a new house. Like, Evan took us out of there, taking pictures around the house, the new house, and my daughter-in-law yells back at me, "Rhonda, Evan's in the picture." This is after he passed. And we looked at the picture on the camera, and there was his shadow.
Wow. Is he still hanging around these days, Rhonda?
Well, last night, I had a three-year-old son. It's really weird because I'm very attached to young ones. As a matter of fact, I was like 70 pregnancies. You know, when I see a pregnant woman, I know if it's a male or female, and I've been wrong 3 times out of about 70. But
that's not bad.
No, and it's like, I can see him, you know.
Let me just tell you something that I think also that Evan is very interesting. There's a case in the book where a lady has a son. I know this exactly for you. That's why you called. Her son's name is Ian, and he appears to her. And in the book I wrote about it, in the window, it was foggy. And the first day was an I, the next day was an A, and the next day was an N. So he comes to her that way. And he had to go over to the other side of life in order to help her fulfill her life down here. And it sounds exactly like what you're going through, exactly. And it's very, very common for the child to pass over in order to finish or help the parents and the family down below.
Thanks, Rhonda. You call it heaven, James.
I call it heaven, and I shouldn't call it heaven.
I was going to say
another dimension.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It has such a religious connotation, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Well, it to me, it gives you the impression of angels, harps, and things like that. Who knows?
Which I'm sure they could have it if they chose to, but that's not really what that I've heard that it is. I've had many, many spirits and children come back say, and children have, listen, there's one book out recently about a young Christian child going and seeing Jesus, which I'm sure for him.
Yeah, we had them on.
You had them on?
Yeah.
That experience happened, no doubt about it. And for him, if he wanted that and that created that world, he had that. Just like my mother went to see have Jesus or something, and she was very Catholic. You can have whatever you create. Whatever is in your mindset, you create that. You have that. So people can have angels if they choose to. There are places over there, George. It's like attracts like, and you go to an area where there are people on the same exact spiritual level that you're at. So there are born-again Christians in the same area. There are Muslims in the same area. There are Jewish people in the same area. Doesn't mean they're better than anybody else. It's just the area that they attracted to. That level of soul evolution, of awareness, if you will.
I wish they'd all understand we all believe in the same God.
We're all God. Yeah. Every one of us is God. We're all the same God.
I haven't heard you talk about evil tonight. How come?
Evil. Well, because I'm in New York. So.
I love it.
Evil. Well, I always see it as evil. I think people make more of it than there should be. But because I think evil and love are just the opposites. I think evil is really illumination of love. And that's really what I think it is. It's not having that vibration. It's not living in that vibration of
negative energy.
I think we can give it energy with our thoughts. I think it has that energy. Sure. Negativity, greed, hatred. That's all that fear-based. All evil is fear-based. So anything that's fear-based is evil.
Let's go to Justin, Plano, Texas, east of the Rockies. There you go. Hi, Justin.
Hey, George. Hey, James.
Hi, Justin.
A couple of quick questions, and I can listen.
And we'll give you a double quick answer.
Sure thing.
Okay, great. I'm kind of curious to know if you, maybe this is a little bit esoteric, but do you follow the worldview that maybe people within Krishna consciousness or who study the Vedas do, that we reincarnate X amount of times, hundreds or thousands of times or tens of thousands, and eventually reach a Godhead state?
Yeah, it's a great question, a great, great question. I do believe in reincarnation. I really, really do. And I do believe that we can be reincarnated right now in several places at once. I don't put a physical limitation on numbers, and that's with that religious thing, and I'm very much into that religion, but any religion that limitates God or limitations, I have a hard time with, and I could be totally wrong, but I feel that we can, you know, we don't have to come back. We can choose to be on the other side. But it seems that many of us choose to come back in order to help each other, to learn, to enlighten, to enrich. So I do believe that we choose to come back, and there are many, many places to go to, many galaxies mm-hmm. many star systems to go to. The Earth is one of the lowest in the evolutionary rung, but there are many, many places to go to.
And the second is, I can make it general or personal. I don't know if you're doing personal.
Whatever you feel comfortable with.
I'll make it an A and B, a quick A and B.
Okay.
For those who are just the worst of the worst on Earth and who in our eyes deserve something maybe
right.
not so pleasing afterward.
Right. Like Osama bin Laden.
Yeah. yeah. Does that...
I just wrote an article about Osama bin Laden. Mm-hmm.
Does that cleanse them, or do they, in future lifetimes, is it a long, long process?
Well, you know, it seems like a soul pattern, if you will. So it could be soul patterns which they choose to perfect and get better with, or they can repeat those patterns, and that's what it's about. And unfortunate, you know, when someone passes into the spirit world, they relive their entire life they've just lived, the physical, and they feel how other people felt, how they were responsible for the deaths of all of these people. And that's a pretty hard thing, of course, to feel. And they will go through that for a while. Thank God there's compassion over there somewhat, a level of compassion to help them. But for a while, they're kind of in a, I don't know if you want to call it a dark area or a lost area or a purgatory area, but they have to live with what they've created in their mind. And that's very, very difficult for them.
Are they going through a life review?
It's kind of a life review, exactly. It's kind of a life review, exactly right. But it seems that when someone does some devastating things, they kind of get stuck on those things. They can't move on to the next situation in their lives because they've killed those thousands of people, or millions of people, whatever. And it seems they're stuck there for a while before they're able to move on to another aspect of their life.
Have you ever had a upset spirit or child?
Oh, yes, often. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yes, I've had once, just recently, I had a young man who had an overdose in a basement, and he showed me the whole scene right in front of me, and he was in his aunt's basement, and he was on the floor, and he was ODing on Oxycontin.
Ugh.
I remember he spelt it out for me because I didn't know what it was, Oxycontin. And he was blonde-haired, and he was really angry. He was pissed off, very, very upset, because he didn't think he was going to die that way. And he was angry that he couldn't get back to the physical body, and he couldn't tell his parents what he really thought about them. So he was able to get through to his parents, his aunts and uncle, who were in the audience. And they recognized him, and including the tattoo of his and all these details of things they had, items they had of his. And he was really angry and really pissed off. But he was able to get through information to them. And it was so interesting. But the audience helped him to lighten up and to help him to move on, to accept that he had died, that accept that, you know, he'd do other things, that he'll be able to come back another time. He'll be able to be a guide or an angel or inspire his family from the other side of life. So with that, he was able to be a much happier spirit. And if you will, move into the light, if you will.
You've got some speaking engagements coming up, too, don't you? Book signings?
I do. I'm going to be in Westbury Music Fair or Westbury Theater in Long Island. I'm going to be in Boston, in L.A., at the Bodhi Tree. I'm going to be all over. For my website, people can find out all my listings, the schedule. And I do a lot of work out there, so vanprog.com if they want to find the calendar section.
All right, well, stay with us. We're going to continue taking phone calls for the remaining portion of this hour and our final hour next hour with James Van Praagh as we talk about his latest work, Growing Up in Heaven. And if any of you have gone through this traumatic event of losing a child and you want to call us, please feel free to do so. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com, and just make it a regular part of your day to go up to our website every once in a while. I shall be right back. Don't touch your dial. Here we go. Well, so many of you are calling, we decided to expand our calls here with James Van Praagh, so we'll take your calls this hour next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We'll take your phone calls. James Van Praagh, our special guest tonight, and he's up there in New York for another major event as he scans the countryside. How often do you travel, James?
I'm sorry?
How often do you travel?
All the time, once a week. I do lectures and venues all over the country. I go to places that people don't go to. So, like, I went to Wisconsin, and people were, like, blown away I was there and thank, very appreciative. And I find I like doing that, to meet people that never get a chance to see mediums in person. So this year I'm going to the U.K. in a couple of weeks, United Kingdom and Scotland.
Scotland, which they've shut down most of the airports out there because of the volcano, so you be careful.
Oh, okay. See, I don't even know these things. I don't know how I get there. Spirit guides me to where I get to go. And,
Well, hopefully by a couple of weeks, things will calm down.
Hopefully. Hopefully, if not, everybody in the UK can come over to the U.S. and visit us.
You got that right. Let's go to Donna in San Francisco. Hey, Donna, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hi there, George. Thank you so very much for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Hello, James.
Hi, Donna.
Hi. Thank you for being there.
Oh, you're welcome.
I want to let you know, my husband died 8 months ago, and before he passed away, he introduced me to you. He actually wrote your name down on a piece of paper and had your name on the counter on a piece of paper. Anyhow, I'm going to try to make this as precise as possible.
Come to the Westbury Show.
The Westbury Show?
Are you from New York?
No, San Francisco, right outside.
Oh, okay, well, you can come to a California show.
Oh, okay, I would love to. What I want to know about is this. It popped in my mind today to call you. He told me basically to call you. I want to know about his wedding band. I have three questions. I'll make it quick. On my finger, I had his wedding band because right after he passed away, I slipped it off of his finger. Anyhow, I woke up and his wedding band was missing from my finger. And I want to know, did he take the wedding band off my finger? Huh. Next thing I want to know is 3 days ago, my daughter was on the freeway and a deer popped up on the freeway 5 feet in front of her. And she swerved the car and the car was rocking. And then she was able to get the car back in control, but this was a large deer, and I want to know.
Oh, well, he helped her get back on the right way, the right lane.
Yeah, he wasn't the deer.
No,
he wasn't the deer.
Yeah,
but he
I want
to
know.
He was the angel or guide that helped manipulate that to happen.
Yeah.
Happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Could he take the wedding ring? Yes, very possibly he could dematerialize that wedding ring, and you'll find it somewhere else. That would not be surprising to
okay,
me.
Okay, I want to know, how does he feel about me beginning to date?
I think he loves it.
Yeah?
I think he loves it. You know, it's very interesting, Donna, but many spirits come through. Husbands have lost wives, wives lost husbands. And the partner will often come through and say, you're going to marry someone, buddy. And the person in the audience says, oh, no, never could I. Well, it's happened so many times because from their perspective, they want us to experience love in this planet and love ourselves. And that can we love ourselves basically because someone else loves us, it teaches us about love. So they want the best for us. So I know that he would like you to get married and meet somebody and hang out with. You're a character. You're a card. You're somebody that should be shared with somebody else and teach them.
Super.
So I'm sure that's what he wants for you.
Go for it, Donna. Have fun. Do you ever run across, though, a spirit that is greedy and,
sure,
you know, doesn't want the spouse to get married, doesn't want the spouse,
sure,
to date?
Sure. I've had that happen. You know, just because you pass into the spiritual realms does not mean that you're evolutionary and you're spiritually evolutionary. You're evolved. You're evolved spiritually and you're aware spiritually of certain things because your mindset is still very much the same when you passed over. That's why when children pass over, it's pretty pure because they haven't gone through judgment. But there have been times where there are spirits who want to hold on very, very deeply to their loved one. And they don't want them to meet anybody else. That does happen. Rare, but it does happen. When we did the show Ghost Whisperer, we ran into a lot of those types of storylines. And there was one storyline we ran around, which I don't know if we ever did or not. Melissa had an old boyfriend, and he didn't want to move on, and he haunted her. But that does happen. But it seems that there's so much more available to them once they're in the physical dimension that they're aware of, that they don't want to hang out here.
Interesting. How's our friend Marianne Winkowski these days?
She's good. She's very, very good.
Super
writing
lady.
Writing another book.
Super lady. We like her a lot.
Yeah.
What's the best advice you can give to a parent who has lost a child?
Number one, they have not lost them. They're in a different place. And that many, many times, as I said before, the children's spirit, that soul, remember, it's just a soul. It's not a physical, it's a child, but it's a soul, first and foremost. We're all souls, and we come back in soul packs, if you will, and that you've never lost them. They're with you, and they might have had to leave this time around early so that they can fulfill your destiny and their destiny from the spiritual levels, and that does happen quite a bit. There was a gentleman who I worked with once, and his son passed over and came through and said, Dad, I'm going to help with your hands. And I said, what does that mean? The father didn't know what it meant. Well, a year later, the father called me up and he said, whenever I go by certain people, my hands go up and heat comes from them. And now he is a healer in Los Angeles and he has a clinic.
How about that?
And that could not have happened until his son Chris had passed over to spirit. So that circuitry could happen. So that happens quite a bit when spirits, children pass over.
Betsy in Sacramento, California. There you go, Betsy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Uh-huh. Honored to be on the show and a pleasure to speak with you both.
Thank you.
I've had a lot of deaths in my family, even a family member with suicide, and I had a baby that was premature. He was 1 pound, 10 ounces, 12 inches long, and he lived 7.5 months in the ICU before he passed away in our arms. And he had this amazing way about his personality. He seemed wise beyond his age, and I thought that that was just what it, that was. He was my firstborn, so I thought maybe all first-time mothers thought that. But after he died, I read a book on death and dying, and I read story after story after story how parents said the same thing about this amazing child. You know, and even though my son couldn't talk, he had this way of communicating without talking.
Well, I describe in the book about that exact situation where a baby is born and then passes shortly afterwards. And I also, I do talk about that. And many times that I've experienced, Betsy, have been that evolved soul, the only experience they need in this earth world, and the connection that they have with the parent and the family, the soul pack group, is that that soul needs just the birth experience. And how wonderful and how evolved are you that you allow this wise being to come through you to just go through that birth experience and then move on? That says a lot about you as well as far as an evolved being. So think of it that way, that you help to let this evolved soul, this wise soul, come through to experience that and then to move on. So, and we're all connected anyway. So.
Well, and a few years later, my stepson was a little down about something one time, and I said, well, you're amazing. You know how to do this and this. Your teachers love you. All the girls love you. You have this amazing way with people, and kids love you. And a little later on, I thought to myself, oh, no, he has that thing, that it, that wisdom beyond his age. I hope he doesn't die young, and he did. On 9/11, we took him to the emergency room for headaches. And he was diagnosed with a very large brain tumor, and he was gone by February of 2002.
Yeah, I recognize that.
And but anyway, do you have a sense of...
It's just wise young souls. A lot of them are very, very wise, and they will only be here to help guide us, and it's their time to move on, for sure. That's their soul contract.
I've had dreams about my stepson, but like visiting me, but not my son, and I just wish he... would or could or something.
So let me tell you, and other people that are listening, parents especially who lost children, there are some ways for them to come through, and there are easy ways for them to come through. Number one is you've got to get out of your way. So if you're in your way and you're blocking them, they'll never come through, or it's hard for them to come through. It's like a garden hose. When you know you crank that hose, the water can't get through. It's very much like spirit. When you want your son to come through, before you go to sleep at night, say, if you're able to come through, I'd love to see you in a dream. And then throw it away. Leave it alone and stop controlling it, okay? Because they'll come through in the way when you least suspect it, when you're in the shower, when you're driving your car, stuff when you're not thinking, then they can come through. So that's the best way. Also, I say to people, have a journal there. And if you can meditate a little bit, like the same time every night for a couple of minutes, have a journal, and just listen with your mind, ask a question, and, you know, he can come through that way. I also have CDs in my website that talks about contacting spirit. And this goes more into detail, more depth about the ways of doing that.
How often do spirits try to contact the living?
Oh, all the time. They want us to know that they're okay, especially those who don't realize that they're alive. They want them to know they're alive. Like the movie Ghost is a great example. He wanted her so much to know that he was okay. He was full. He had a body. They're so much more alive than we are here in the physical body, where they're so much more aware. And they want us to know there is no reason for you to have heartache. There is no reason for you to be depressed, that I am very, very much alive. You might not see me, but I'm able now to manipulate, to control, to inspire, to do things on this level that I wasn't able to do on Earth. And I will do that for you. So please don't be depressed. Please don't cry. Know that I'm with you. And this was a contract, a decision we both agreed upon.
You know, you're the executive producer of Ghost Whisperer. You should be doing some kind of reality show based on your life.
You think so?
Yes.
Yes, George, I would like to. I'm trying to find a production company to do that.
I mean, that would be a great idea.
Can you imagine living the life of James Van Prague, everyday life?
Well, I mean, following you around to all these events.
And
I mean, there's enough material there.
How's my dog, Skippy?
The last Skippy? What kind of dog is Skippy?
I said, if you have a message for my dog, Skippy, and I would turn around and go, bow, wow, wow, wow. No, it's terrible. I have a good sense of humor, so people get thrown by that. But it really does help when you're working with this level.
You have to have one, or you yourself will go nuts.
That's exactly right. You have to. I was in the UK last year doing a tour with Tony, and the people were very, very conservative and very, very white and black. And I came out on stage and danced a little bit. And they were like, who is this crazy person? And that was great because it taught them that, okay, they can ease up. They don't have to have the expectation. They can lighten up a little bit. It's a joyful thing when you realize there is no death. And then they loved it. They embraced it. They loved it. They warmed to it. And we had an incredible evening because they let spirit through by being light, if you will. I do get them every once in a while an analogy of a mountain, and that we as human beings on this earth in the middle of that mountain, and some of us are very aware that there's an apex of that mountain, that there's a whole world above us, and we're very aware of the one down below us. We're kind of stuck in that middle part. But there are some people that go out to the ledge and look up to the top and see if there is a top.
Let's see. Have you ever been to Altus, Oklahoma?
I have not.
We're going right now with Carol. There you go. Carol, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, George and Jane.
Hi, Carol.
I can't believe it got through.
I can't believe I'm in Oklahoma, Carol.
It's hot here today. Even right now, it's 82 degrees at night.
Well, let's hope it stays that way. We don't want a cold front because that means tornadoes.
Right.
We had a wall cloud on Thursday, and it passed our area and went 5 miles and touched down, but it didn't do any damage. Not like Joplin. I lost a granddaughter in February. She was born, George, 11/11/2005. She was an angel.
Yeah.
She never got to walk or talk.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little emotional.
No, that's okay,
sweetheart. Take a deep breath. No problem.
Now, how I'm understanding this is maybe she came into the world for us to learn from her.
Yes, yes, very, very, very much so. Very to teach us. I've had so many, many hundreds and hundreds of spirit children come through who are handicapped, mentally handicapped, physically handicapped, and when they come back through the spirit and communicate, they say to their loved ones, their parents, "Thank you for bringing me through. I needed this experience to teach others about compassion and forgiveness." And you were able to provide that for me, so thank you for that.
Yeah, I lost a son 26 years ago, and what helped me
But you know what I want you to do, honey? Listen to what I want you to do. I would love for you tomorrow, maybe because it's fresh, and for everybody listening who have children that passed over, you can do this. Take a pad and write down the name of the child and the death date, yeah? And I want you to just, what comes into the top of your head, situations that happened, that occurred, various situations that occurred, after they passed, that would never have occurred until that child passed over. And just make a list, and you'll be shocked of how many things happened in your lives that would never have happened until that child had passed.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly with you.
But it's important to write that down and look at that so everybody knows
I will.
That. Yeah,
I will. What helped me get through my son is that I appreciate every day that I have him.
Yep.
That's what made me survive.
That's very important.
4 years ago, we thought it was going to be a happy baby day. I went to move my mom from Florida to here and went to pick her up in Georgia, and my niece was supposed to have a baby, and we were lucky that we got her to the hospital in time.
Mm-hmm.
Her baby was born stillborn.
Hmm.
So I feel like I'm on this earth to take care of family and friends who've lost people and
good for you.
So I agree with you. And now you're saying that you've had that experience. So you know what it's like to go through that experience.
Yes.
And now it's your job to teach others what it's like to go through that experience. Don't waste that experience. Let that go on. It's a rippling effect. Take that experience and teach others. Enlighten others.
And that's what you've been saying all night, James. You know, help people within an island and let it grow.
Exactly. I mean, that's why we're down here.
Thanks, Carol. Appreciate you being part of the program. Time for one or two more before the break, and we've got a final hour with James Van Prague here. By the way, Jim, where did we get your book?
Growing Up in Heaven. Please go to Amazon.com right now and pre-order. You'll have it by tomorrow or the next day. And in a second, I'll tell you about a secret of that book.
Oh, really?
There's something that happened which blew me away, George.
Okay. I love secrets. Sunrise, Florida. Anna, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Anna.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Good to
Hi,
call.
Anna.
Hi, I'm so excited to be talking to you both. I am a fan of Coast to Coast and you, James, a friend of mine, gave me one of the Heaven and Earth book, and I've been reading, and you're just so clear in how you speak about the spirit world.
I'm very grateful. The truth is simple, Anna.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, my son, Bradford, passed away. He committed suicide January 21 of this year, and he was 14 years old. And I have been blessed in the sense that I have seen him. He's played with my Facebook on my cell phone. I've had some amazing experiences with him, with proof that sure. he is alive and that he's present, and that he has that death is just an illusion. I have been wondering, though, because with suicide, I have read that it's a violation of life. It's murder of a life, of self-destruction. Mm-hmm. So when they commit suicide so young, at age 14, I mean, I don't believe in hell.
Right, right.
As heaven, but isn't there some kind of repercussion for the soul?
Let's not be as dramatic and drastic as that. Let's say that, because most religions they frown upon suicide. So, and I'm going to want you to look at it from perspective that this is our schoolroom, and that we as souls come back with this human experience, and we've been back many, many times, and that in some lifetimes it's been very difficult for a certain soul because certain things happen, and they can't rise above it. And in this case, it might have been your son might have had a situation where he came back with a lot of opportunities, a lot of possibilities, but it was too much for him. It was too much for him. So he said, I can't do it this time. I'll do it next time. It is never good to leave school early, cut school, because you will have to finish school sometime. So that's number one, okay? A soul is never, never harmed, never put to death. I mean, I've never put to burn, brim, fire and brimstone in hell. Does not happen. There's so much compassion on the other side of life that soul is helped immediately. The problem seems that it's always the motivation behind the act. So if somebody lost money in the stock market and jumped out a window, it's very different than somebody who has a mental disorder, okay, or a drug disorder, let's say. So sometimes they just can't handle it. So the problem is the person left behind, the family left behind, and the soul that just finished the suicide, completed the suicide, they will feel the emotions and what their action caused the loved ones behind. That's
Jake,
the hard part.
We're going to come right back with a final hour of phone calls with you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Plus, we'll find out what this secret is about your work growing up in heaven.